Mikes.
Y Rommel Caja Vilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Caja Vilca in the Technical Production, Edition and Music Selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa de International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT. Next, the International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un...
I'm Thomas Witherspoon of Asheville, North Carolina, and you're tuned to the International Radio Report, 30 minutes of news about radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Welcome, everyone, to the International Radio Report for Sunday, June the 13th, 2021. My name's Sheldon, and Jill is with me as usual. We thank you for joining us today. It is our weekly half-hour visit with you to get you up to date on things going on in the world of radio. We are located in Montreal, Quebec at CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Our website is ckut.ca. You can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. We also have our Facebook group for the show, which is called International Radio Report. We have two new members this week. We welcome Serge and Mark joining us. And our YouTube channel, which now has 325 subscribers. You can find us on YouTube. Just search for International Radio Report in the YouTube search, or simply youtube.com/International Radio Report.
Check our YouTube channel this week. We will have a special edition of the International Radio Report with the review of the Texan H501X shortwave receiver.
As I said, we like to keep you up to date on things going on in the world of radio, and we try to balance it out for you, local issues, national issues here in Canada, and other things going on around the world. So we have a little bit of everything for you today. We will start things off with a look at the new Canadian radio ratings that have come out. They're done by a firm called Numeris. And this period that's just been released covers March the 1st through May the 30th of 2021. So in the predominantly late winter into spring season, which is always a pretty important session of ratings. So we won't go into a lot of details on all of them at this point, but we did want to focus a little bit today on the Montreal ratings. We will put a link up on our Facebook page that will take you to four other major cities in Canada: Calgary, Edmonton, Toronto, and Vancouver on the Numeris site. We'll put that link up. But we have the English numbers and French numbers for Montreal. It's the only city in Canada where we get both an English and a French separate lists given to us. So we can see the standings of each of the stations in both languages, but we also see the crossover that appears a little bit in some of the stations from Anglos listening to French radio and vice versa. So I guess we can just quickly look at, summarize the English ratings, which I guess don't really give us any big surprises. Maybe, maybe one in particular relating to Virgin Radio and its very close competition now being, of all things, CBC Radio 1. And if I was programming Virgin Radio right now, I think I'd be very concerned about that. But they haven't seemed to be too concerned about losing out in the ratings to many stations for the last number of periods. So I don't know when they're going to decide to make a change, but I think maybe this one will do it. Although summer, it isn't usually a good time to change things. If they are going to make some big changes at a radio station, they tend to look towards the fall to do something like that rather than the summer. We see in the chart, though, for the Montreal English language stations that above and beyond anybody, CJD, the talk radio AM station on 800, has got an unbelievably high share once again of 30.6%. So with a 30.6% share for CJD, I don't know if there are any other stations even across Canada that have that high a number and that dominance within a market.
It's crazy.
But it's really quite surprising.
It's crazy. I just I can't believe that station is able to have such high ratings like that. And there isn't that big of a choice also, we got to say, in the Montreal radio in English.
That's true. And being really the only full-time news talk station on the English side,
yep.
I guess it does attract a lot of people. And, you know, COVID has still been going on, and there's a lot of politics going on in Quebec right now as well. So that maybe accounts for a lot of it as well. But their closest competition is the Beat music FM music station, 92.5. But they're only at 16% share.
Almost half. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really dramatic. Shom FM doing very well. The rock music station at 13.8. The one we keep harping on is Virgin Radio. They're down to 9.1, and very close on their tail is CBC Radio 1 at 8.5. So that's getting extremely close. You've got to wonder what's going on there. The sports station, TSN Radio, made a jump, but I think that's due to the Canadiens' hockey season.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know, so that's had an impact there. But anyways, those are the main numbers, the high numbers.
Yep.
We'll be getting an analysis of this much more in detail in Montreal from Steve Faggy, who writes for the Gazette, and his Fagstein blog. So we'll wait till we get more details on that. On the French side, Jill, do you notice anything in particular there?
Nothing special. It's the dominance of that news talk station 98.5 that is really the dominant station at 23.7%. For the rest, I don't see any stations that have, jumped or changed much in the ratings. I was kind of interested in seeing Sequoia, which was such a big dominant station back in the past. It's down at 7%, 7.7, which is kind of low for a French language music station.
Yeah, when you look at the top two stations, they're both news and information
yep.
stations, really.
Yep.
Which is kind of surprising. You know, it's certainly not like that in many markets. It seems that people are very interested in current affairs and talk radio and that sort of thing here in Montreal, both on the English and French side.
Well, last week we were talking about personalities on the radio. Of course, the news talk stations have known personalities for their own format, but I'm looking at Rhythm FM 105.7, which also has a nice, it's 13.8%, and I noticed that they have a lot of DJs that are known personalities in the music from the past, and I was talking last week about Mario Lirette in particular. So I think as a music station, maybe some of those DJs' personalities are giving the station maybe a little boost in its ratings also at the same time.
Yeah, that's probably true. The other thing I noticed that's interesting too, though, is the crossover market, particularly Francophones listening to English radio.
Yeah.
And if you look on this list, you see that the three music stations in English, Virgin Radio, Shom FM, the rock station, and The Beat, all have a similar percentage, 3.6, 4.8, 4.5.
Yep.
So there's that, getting close to 5% of their audience coming from the Francophone side. So I think that's an indication of the English, pop music scene and rock music scene still being very popular, even in the Francophone market. So those numbers, I'm sure the English stations are happy to see that number.
Oh, for sure.
Maybe the French stations aren't happy to see that number, but, that's kind of the way it is. People are going to tune to what they want to hear. So
maybe that has to do with the complaining of there's too much French language music and let's change those ratios because people are listening to other stations that don't have that.
Yeah, we've had that story, and I'm sure it's going to be looked at, and we'll see if anything comes of it. But, I guess they'll use these numbers to support their case as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, so we'll put up the link, and if you're in another city, you want to go take a look at Toronto, Calgary, Edmonton, or Vancouver, we'll put the link up, and you can go check out your favorite stations on those cities as well and see how they're doing. So always fun to get the ratings numbers yep. out. Next, we talk about radio interference a lot, and we have an interesting story of something kind of out of the ordinary that was happening in Vancouver with interference.
Yep, world-class Vancouver recording studio plagued by 6 months of unexplained radio interference. This is by Joel Ballard, CBC News via Radio World. Vancouver's Armory Studios have been hosting international musicians for more than two decades. World-famous acts like Kiss, Avril Lavigne, and Busta Rhymes have recorded out of the Kitsilano studio. But for the past 6 months, unexplained radio interference has been threatening to ruin the studio's reputation. When staff tries to record, high-pitched interference can be heard through the wired microphones, making it difficult for music engineers to capture the desired sounds. We've already lost money. We're already paying a lot for tech. It's wasted time in sessions, and we've even lost sessions, says chief engineer and manager Paul Silvera. The team set out on what would ultimately prove to be a wild goose chase to determine the cause. Dixon says he sent a recording of the interference to Innovation, Science, and Economic Development Canada, the regulatory body of radio frequency spectrum in Canada. ISED came to investigate, and according to Dixon, the ISED member wondered whether the interference might be coming from cell phone towers on top of a nearby building. The towers belong to Rogers, which denies its equipment is at fault. ISED asked Rogers to do a shutdown of their towers. I was there, and when they did it, it was completely quiet suddenly, says Dixon. Once the towers were turned back on, he says the interference returned, but the mystery of how it was happening remained. Ultimately, neither ISED or Rogers was able to determine the exact cause of the interference. CBC News has seen correspondence from both Rogers and the ISED that confirms the telecom is operating within its license band and power levels. In an email, the Rogers investigator raised several possibilities, including someone in the neighborhood using an illegal cell signal booster, but nothing has been conclusive. It is up to the studio to fix the problem, wrote an ISED member in a separate email to Armory Studios. Rogers has denied responsibility for the interference, but has hired a technician to investigate it. We have been in contact with Armory Studios and are looking into the issue, said Paul Nixey, a regional spokesperson for Rogers Communication, in a statement. Until we investigate, it is unclear what the cause of the issue is or if it is related to Rogers in any way. But given the news that Rogers has hired a technician, the team at Armory is hopeful it will finally have some answers and maybe even a little radio silence. It's interesting, you know, this is kind of always a little bit the same. It's like nobody wants to take the blame for anything. And it's like, well, it's, you know, you should fix the problem because it's not our fault. We have a demonstration here that kind of shows the antenna might be causing some problems. And I mean, that's high-tech equipment. They probably have some really, I mean, it's a professional studio. They have some really, you know, good technical equipment there. And I mean, as any musicians know, when you plug, you know, these cables into an amplifier, I remember as a learning guitar part of my life, when I would plug into my Marshall amplifier and hear AM radio stations sometimes in the amplifier in the background. It is sometimes tough to eliminate all of this. And if you're close, and more sources of these radio interference are happening every day, I mean, towers, cell towers are popping up everywhere. It's going to get more and more difficult to shield everything and to make sure that that doesn't happen.
I mean, how do you deny it's not your problem when they turn the towers off and the interference goes away, you turn them back on and it comes back? I mean, that to me would be case closed. We know where the problem's coming from.
Yep.
But now to figure out how to get rid of it is another story. But yeah, like you say, everybody is, you know, oh, no, it's not me. It must be you. No, it's not us. It must be you. Right. You know, so this will probably go on for a little while. But I mean, they obviously can't ask Rogers to turn the tower off every time they need to record something. You know, that's not going to happen. So anyways, it is the job of the of these departments, though, to go and figure out this kind of stuff. Yeah. So, you know, they seem to be almost passing the buck a little bit, too. Like, oh, well, you know, yeah, OK, now you guys got to go figure it out. Well, you're supposed to regulate this stuff. Okay. They say that Rogers is within their legal limits. So I don't know. This will be a tough one to figure out who takes the blame for this and how you fix it.
Especially when, you know, yeah, it's easy to just give out a number and say, yeah, you're within your legal limit and you know, it's, everything seems right. That does not mean you cannot cause interference, even if everything seems right.
Exactly. Well, we wish them luck with that one. Sounds like there's going to be a battle there, I think, for a while until they get that taken care of. We are next going to take you across the ocean over to Europe and news coming out of Switzerland. VHF shutdown in Switzerland. Projects under prominent fire. This comes from a report, Market Research Telecast, from June the 6th, forwarded by Mike Terry in the UK. A group, a name of an online petition, is Save UKW, with signatures currently being collected quite successfully from the population of Switzerland. The online signature collection comes literally at the last minute because the end of VHF radio, better known as FM broadcasting, has been a government decision in the Confederation since 2017. But now, unexpectedly, a few days ago, a well-known woman appeared in public, the former minister, Doris Lutard, who was once politically responsible for the shutdown project. As the current prominent figurehead of the Save UKW initiative, Lutard is now also demanding that the stations be switched off later. It is currently planned to switch off classic radio in two stages. Next year in August, SRG-SSR, which is the federal broadcaster, is to switch off its FM transmitters. And in January 2023, the private radio stations are to take their FM transmitters off the network. At the time, FM was considered a discontinued model, Lutard said in one last week interview with Radio 1. FM was considered to be a discontinued model. But now it would turn out that only half of the vehicles in Switzerland are equipped with DAB Plus or internet radio. That makes it difficult to switch off the FM radio prematurely. Otherwise, half of the cars in Switzerland would lose radio reception. It's not worth it when Switzerland goes it alone, said Lutard in the interview. The cars must be able to drive from northern Germany to southern Italy with radio reception. The SRG points out that according to an EU regulation, receivers in new passenger vehicles must be able to receive digitally terrestrial radio programs since December 21st, 2020. This regulation also applies to Switzerland, believes the SRG. But even outside the vehicles, millions of fully functional radios in Switzerland would be useless. And the UKW initiative, that would destroy national wealth because nobody can use these devices anymore. And nobody wants that, said Lutard. DETEC took note of Lutard's statements as it announced at the request of the Keystone SDA news agency. The FM switch-off is also a decision of the industry, which also determines the time. Whether the organizers would return the VHF radio licenses at the agreed time or use them until the end of 2024 is currently being discussed. So far, Norway has completely said goodbye to FM radio. DAB Plus is also available in many other European countries. This also applies to Germany. However, there is currently no switch-off date for the FM radio. Other countries have postponed the decision to switch off FM radios, such as Great Britain, where the FM stations are now supposed to run until 2032. In Germany, FM is the most widely used type of radio reception at almost 64%. Digital reception has increased significantly since 2013. At that time, it was 8.8%. Today, it is 27%. who most frequently use a digital reception channel. 27% still not a very high number, though.
No. One of the things that probably is, you know, why they want to move on as fast as possible, the difference in Europe, the DAB format, they use a different frequency range. So they need to have two transmitters in reality, the one for analog FM, the one for DAB. So that costs more money. So probably part of the thing here happening is that stations are like, yeah, well, you know, if we could get rid of that old analog and just choose DAB because it's going to cost less. Unlike here in North America, HD radio, which is the same transmitter, it's just the transmitter has been adapted to send a carrier or a data stream through the analog signal, which is different, only one transmitter. But, you know, I think it's looking for the future and maybe misunderstanding a little bit that there's still a lot of people listening to old analog FM and they're fine with it.
What Switzerland's mentioned, too, that's really something to take into consideration is, you know, Europeans are used to traveling from country to country. The countries are close together. So, you know, if one country's got this regulation and the next one next door to you doesn't, you know, your radio works for a certain period of time and then all of a sudden you cross a border and you go somewhere else and it doesn't work anymore.
Yep.
You know, that can't happen. There's got to be some kind of standardization or options available, I think. That's going to be difficult to get everybody on board, I think.
You know, I get it that it's nice for, you know, since I have my HD radio, I do find the added bonus that you have of the different streams available and the information. It's truly interesting format, but and DAB, it's hit or miss. DAB is you listen, and if you're in an area where it's weak, you just have nothing anymore.
Switzerland, a mountainous country too, and you know what mountains do to regular FM signals.
Yep.
Well, it's going to have maybe even more impact on a DAB signal, I think.
It's fine that we talk about it and move to a technology like that, but also I think it's we should think about the old analog technology and its importance that it might have even in the future.
Yeah, as a backup system, even in the meantime, you know, that you have that to fall back on and you're not putting all your eggs in one basket that, you know, might have a couple holes in the basket.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's happening with our son this week? Our son is rather quiet this week. Nothing major happened. At some point, we had four small sunspot groups on the surface. Currently, we have two of them. They're pretty quiet sunspots. But, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I said they were quiet, and then all hell broke loose, so you never know what could happen. K-index around 2 to 3, which is quiet conditions in general. There is a solar wind that will flow from a southern coronal hole and could reach the Earth around June 15th. But apart from that, rather quiet conditions. Solar flux back in the 70s. Nothing major for now. But maybe that could change for the future. There's a interesting little article on spaceweather.com where they talk about something called the termination event. Something big may be about to happen on the sun. We call it the termination event, says Scott McIntosh, a solar physicist at the National Center for Atmospheric Research. And it's very, very close to happening. If you've never heard of the termination event, you're not alone. Many researchers have never heard of it either. It's a relatively new idea in solar physics, champion McIntosh and colleague Bob Lehman of the University of Maryland. According to the two scientists, vast bands of magnetism are drifting across the surface of the sun. When oppositely charged bands collide at the equator, they terminate or annihilate. There's no explosion. This is magnetism, not antimatter. Nevertheless, the termination event is a big deal. It can kickstart the next solar cycle into higher gear. If the terminator event happens soon, as we expect, new solar cycle 25 could have a magnitude that rivals the top few since record-keeping began. This is to say the least controversial. Most solar physicists believe that solar cycle 25 will be weak, akin to the anemic solar cycle 24, which barely peaked back in 2012-2013. orthodox models of the sun's inner magnetic dynamo favor a weak cycle and not even include the concept of terminators. What can I say, laughs McIntosh. We're heretics. The researchers outlined their reasoning in a paper in 2020. There they looked back at over 207 years of sunspot data. They found that terminator events divide one solar cycle from the next, happening approximately every 11 years. The interval between terminators range from 10 to 15 years, and this is key to predicting the solar cycle. We found that the longer the time between the terminators, the weaker the next cycle would be, explains Lehman. Conversely, the shorter time between terminators, the stronger the next solar cycle will be. So what they're saying is solar cycle 25 is shaping up to be the opposite. Instead of a long interval, it appears to be coming on the heels of a very short one, only 10 years since the terminator event that began in solar cycle 24. Previous solar cycles with such short intervals have been among the strongest in recorded history. These ideas might be controversial, but they have a virtue that all scientists can appreciate. They're testable. If the termination event happens soon and solar cycle 25 skyrockets, the heretics may be on to something. Stay tuned. So interesting to see all the physics and all the information that we get and how people are trying to find new ways to find, and predict the next solar cycles, which are tough to predict, actually. And of course, you got to turn on that radio and listen.
This is Christopher Lobdell of Tewksbury, Massachusetts. Listen to the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
You know, people might be wondering why we talk about all this solar stuff, particularly if you're new to our program or new to the radio hobby. The sun is really the controlling force in so much of our radio communication. Oh, yeah. So that's why we do feature it every week, in case you're wondering. And we always tell people spaceweather.com is a great website to go and learn a little bit more about this stuff. So check it out, spaceweather.com. Where you can learn a lot more about the effects of the sun on our communications.
And it's time for the ham radio contest.
It is time for that. We have three of them coming up this coming weekend. The first one is the 62nd All Asian DX contest. It's a CW contest. It runs June 19th, 0000 to 2359 Zulu, June 20th. Sponsored by the Japanese Amateur Radio League. It's on the 160, 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10-meter bands, CW only.
There's the West Virginia QSO Party, 16 Zulu June 19th to 04 Zulu June 20th, sponsored by the State Amateur Radio Council. Modes are CW, SSB, and digital, and the bands are 80 to 10 meters, no work bands.
And finally, this isn't really a contest, but kind of a neat event to introduce kids to amateur radio. It's ARRL's Kids Day. It is June 19th, 1800 to 2359 Zulu. Twice a year, ARRL offers an event designed to promote amateur radio to our youth. Share the excitement with your kids or grandkids, a scout troop, a church, or a general public group. Kids Day is designed to give on-the-air experience to young people and hopefully foster interest in getting a license of their own. It is also intended to give older hams a chance to share their station and love of amateur radio with their children. So this operates 10 through 80 meters, and it does include the work bands, which most events don't. Yep. You can also use VHF, UHF repeaters for contacts as well. So you can get more information on this event at arrl.org/kids-day, and we'll put that link up for you. Kind of a unique event.
Yep, it's always a lot of fun to listen to also. Well, I guess time is up.
We are done for another week. We thank you for tuning in. As usual, you can check us out, re-listen to the program on the archives of CKUT or you can get it on our YouTube channel later today, actually, within the next hour or so. It'll be up there on the International Radio Report YouTube channel. So do check that out as another option for you. We will talk to you again next week. We thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
This is Radio Japan, the overseas broadcasting service of NHK in Tokyo. この放送はラジオ日本のジェネラルサービス、東京から。